You're listening to a Radio 191 FM podcast.
Over and over. We have Emmanuel Gomez coming on to talk about her new track, Snakes and Ladders, which is her first song in a wee while. Good morning to you, Emmanuel. How are you today?
Good, thank you. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Of course. I'm very, very chill. I feel like I was in a bit of a mood this morning because of the rain and the sort of grey clouds.
Yes.
Listening to some sad music.
Yes.
You know, that was kind of a vibe though. It felt good. Felt cathartic.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. You know, cool.
Yeah.
Do you suffer from seasonal affective disorder?
Not in a particularly remarkable way.
Mm-hmm.
I think everyone feels a bit sad when the clouds.
Yeah. But fun fact, I learnt yesterday 10% of sufferers experience seasonal affective disorder in the summer.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
They get those feelings from being too hot in the sun.
Whoa. I might know a few people like that, actually.
Me too. Not something I can personally relate to, being a Bikram yoga teacher.
Is that
quite
hot
like
yoga?
The heat? It is.
Yeah. So compared to like a sauna hot, how hot are you? Like, how hot is the classroom?
It's 38 degrees.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's hot. That's half a sauna.
Yeah, that's right.
Temperature.
Yeah. It feels like twice it halfway through the class, though. But, you know, afterwards, the elation sets in.
How do you get the room hot? You just blast the heat pump?
Yeah. It's a particular kind of ducted heating, and we've got infrared heat, overhead heaters as well.
Whoa.
Little plug for hot yoga Dunedin here.
Oh, you got to sweat it out, man. You got to sweat it out.
Yeah, indeed.
One thing I want to ask you is, how are your holidays, mate? You have a good holiday?
Yeah.
Good New Year's?
It was pretty good. Hate to bring it back to the weather, but, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, lovely to have a break, spend some time with the family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's good.
I read a little bit about you, and your mother was a concert pianist. Your dad was a folk guitarist. Do you think music was inevitable?
Absolutely. In my blood, like holy wine. As Joni Mitchell would say.
It's a gorgeous lyric.
Yeah.
Do you have any other relatives who do a lot of music stuff?
Absolutely. There's a whole whanau of them on both sides. Very musical family. Lots of sitting around, someone playing a guitar, people singing, joining in, jamming. Yeah.
Awesome.
Very much musical upbringing.
Yeah. So you just grew up in that kind of creative culture.
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome. That's great. Do you think you took more after your mum, given that you are a pianist?
Well, she taught me, so I would say
couldn't
yes.
escape.
That's right.
There was no choice.
No, that's right. But it was my dad that was the performer, if you like. You know, his personality is very much performer.
Quite large.
So I think I sort of took after that a little bit in my younger days, but that's changed a little bit as I've grown and realised I'm an introvert with a sort of extroverted personality. So I have to kind of pull that out to perform. But actually, probably my favourite part of the songwriting process is actually writing the songs at home, getting those thoughts and feelings out.
Yeah. It's funny when you're young, and I mean, I'm 25, I'm still young. But when you're like, you think that you have to be more out there than you can be, and then you go home feeling weird. It's like, why do I feel weird? Because you're not being yourself, mate. You're masking.
That's right.
As the kids say.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
This new track, Snakes and Ladders, it's your first new material since 2022, according to Bandcamp. How does it feel to be back releasing music?
Oh, really good. Yeah. Good to get it out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Quite cathartic.
Absolutely.
Are you a big enjoyer of Snakes and Ladders?
The game?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I did enjoy it a lot as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I am a big fan of snakes. We're just approaching the end of the year of the snake, and I am, in fact, myself born under the Chinese sign of the snake.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, sheesh. Do you know what element snake you are?
Fire snake.
That's so dope.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I'm Year of the Dragon, which is kind of unbeatable.
Oh,
but fire snake's pretty cool,
you're
too.
You're gloating now. Everyone wants to be a dragon, but yes, fire snake's pretty cool, too.
Oh, that's awesome.
Definitely have that affiliation with the snake in terms of reinvention, in terms of shedding the old. And honestly, that's how I feel after a hot yoga class, like I'm a snake that's shed my skin and emerging shiny and new.
Yes, glistening. I feel the same after a sauna.
Yes.
You know, it's really magical what happens and just an immense amount of heat and an immense amount of time. But the reason I bring up Snakes and Ladders is just because I feel like it's a game that's really, it's not quite a board game, But it, I mean, it is a board game, obviously, but it just has one mechanic. It's very simple, you know, and most other board games have at least more than one mechanic. Yeah. It feels like the Snap equivalent or like Go Fish equivalent for board games, you know.
But then, you know, it's multi-layered. It gets deeper. Like, that's life, right? There's ups and downs. Yeah. There's people who are there to harm you. There's people who are there to help you.
Exactly.
Yeah, so in its most simplistic form, it's a game of life.
Mm-hmm. It's very symbolic.
Yeah.
The track itself began as a 5-note mantra on your piano, and then came the themes of how important it is to break, you know, destructive cycles against all the odds. The lyrics of a wound and a scab on a wound and a scab really took me. What do you think you were reflecting on when these words sort of came to you?
It's about certainly trying to heal from a situation or event, and then kind of being slapped with compound interest, if you like, on top of. So something bad happens, then something else is going to come along on top of that. Yeah. Maybe because this happened, this thing is going to happen. So it's sort of like trying to heal, but just when the scab forms, something else hits you and there's another wound on top of that. So it's that feeling of that cycle going on and on again, and just like really wanting that wound to heal.
And you can't address what's on top without addressing what's
digging
below.
Digging deeper.
And it's hard to do that when everything's sort of cooked.
Yes.
Yeah. There's this interesting idea I saw on an Instagram reel, so albeit probably not very scientific, but there's this kind of theory that I've heard about, you know, problems are hard to escape for one very strong reason. That's because your body gets used to the flood of chemicals that those problems can cause. So when you start to improve, if it's like a, you know, if it's a self-causing problem, you don't feel right because your body is like, what the hell, I need my flood of chemicals.
That's right. Or I'm so used to the drama that when things are peaceful and quiet, I don't really know how to deal with that. I'm used to existing in chaos. And, you know, I could say a lot about that in terms of, like, from a yoga perspective, about your sympathetic nervous system and activating your parasympathetic nervous system, learning to rest and digest instead of be in that constant fight or flight mode. But yeah, certainly I think sometimes we can get so used to feeling, you know, bad that when we feel good, that's quite a surprise. It's almost like that's something we have to relearn.
Yeah, it's a shock.
Yeah.
It's a shock to the system. Yeah. When do you think you were able to exit the chaos and embrace the peace?
Well, it's a journey, not a destination.
That's true.
And, you know, I would say that therapy has been really instrumental to me kind of reprogramming a negative thought pattern and actually creating new neural pathways and really wanting to live a more positive life. My mind has been my own worst enemy for most of my life, and it is, you know, I'm still on a pathway to kind of reconstruct that. Therapy, as I said, has been instrumental in those improvements, and also this song is quite reflective, looking back at a period with the benefit of hindsight and with those skills learnt in therapy, being able to observe a situation and go, well, this happened to me and this happened to me. What could have I have done differently, or what could I do differently to ensure that I don't get myself into a situation like that again? Therapy, in fact, has been so integral, so motivating, that I'm about to go and start studying to become a therapist.
Yeah, so, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, something to become. Yeah,
pay it forward.
Man, that's awesome, man. That's good. That's good. The track is a bit hopeful, as you were saying before. It's about able to be, you know, to escape your self-destructive mechanisms, or just to escape destruction in general. As you emphasise that people are stronger than their demons. You mentioned therapy as a sort of way to break those patterns. What other ways have you found that really helped you, subtle or explicit?
Yoga has been a really important part of my journey, learning to slow down and be in the moment, be present in the moment, instead of always trying to escape it. I think that's kind of a universal thing that people can relate to, that, you know, I think particularly like younger people growing up in today's society aren't used to feeling uncomfortable, because when we do, we look for a way to escape that.
Very true.
Whether that be, you know, drinking or drugs, or whether it be just scrolling on our phone, or, you know, we kind of want to hide from our uncomfortable feelings.
Yes.
So actually just kind of learning to face them, I think. And there's, you know, lots of different things that I have done that have have been really helpful. Yoga and therapy and just self-acceptance. Not comparing yourself to those around you, living an authentic life, and facing yourself in the mirror with your own truth, which can be really challenging but also really empowering.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, in a literal sense, you are all you've got.
Exactly. So you've coming to save me.
They can try and they'll fail.
Yeah, that's right. Got to save yourself.
yeah, you do. You do. No, I like that sort of idea quite a lot.
Yeah.
What was I going to say before? Oh, yeah, about the younger generations not being being uncomfortable with being uncomfortable. I know so many people who are so afraid of, or who are very, very conflict avoidant. I feel like that's become much more of a trend and a trait. And that's just going to let bad people get away with whatever because people are too afraid to speak up.
That's
I feel like.
In person, but not on the internet.
No.
Wow.
Yeah.
Everybody's got a lot to say there behind the protective barrier of their screen, but. Yeah, I mean, certainly I don't like conflict. I think previously in my life for a long time would have gone out of my way to avoid it. But sometimes, like, just beyond the breakdown is the breakthrough.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes, you know, I certainly have learned in my lifetime that if you just kind of face that discomfort and have those difficult situations, it can actually have the most amazing, magical consequences.
Completely. I mean, I'm not a conflict-seeking person, but if there is, I think conflict is a natural part of life. You encounter it wherever you go, and it's just good to learn ways to sort of mitigate it, manage it, to find a pathway that works for everyone.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
Yeah. So you got a new EP that's coming out. This track is from the EP. Will you be using more board games as metaphors?
Well, yeah, there's still time because, you know, I've got a few of the tracks ready to go for the EP and, you know, there's space for a couple more. So if you were going to recommend me a board game to write a song about, what would it be?
That is a really, really great question. I was thinking about it as you were saying that. I mean, if it's a love song, maybe Monopoly.
Good.
If it's an ode, you know,
yeah, I like Monopoly. That. Monopoly.
And if it's about conflict again, Risk.
I like it. That's good. Okay, I'm going to take that under advisement. I'm going to, you know, go away, see what I can come up with. Maybe I'll be back in here in a year to play, you know, my new tune, Risk.
Yeah, or Settlers of Catan. Get really esoteric. Do you have any upcoming shows that you'd like to plug?
I'm a very busy person. I currently have 3 jobs. I've got 4 kids, and I'm about to go and study. So I don't currently have anything booked, but I am I'm ready to go. I've got the songs rehearsed, and, you know, if you would like me to open for your band, you can find me on Instagram at Emmanuel Gomez Music.
Awesome. Well, hopefully we'll see you live sometime soon. Thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. Do you have any final words, thoughts, considerations you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Love yourself.
Yeah, hell yeah. Good message. Alrighty. That was Emmanuel Gomez, folks, coming on to talk about Snakes and Ladders, her latest single, first single in a few years. Here it is. And then at 10:30, we're going to have a chat with David McCullough and Alan Perrott from Francis Sect to talk about their EP that's been rediscovered. Here is Snakes and Ladders from Emmanuel Gomez. You're listening to The One. Keep it locked.
In the chain, a bullet in my throat, gonna see the light of day. So long without.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.